This is Senior Talk, presented by Gentle Shepherd Home Care on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk right here and only on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. I'm Dan Wilson, your host of Senior Talk with Gentle Shepherd Home Care. Senior Talk is brought to you in part by our sponsors, Affordable Medical Supply and Gentle Shepherd Home Care. Visit Affordable Medical Supply online today at affordablemedmart.com or by phone at 719-632-4036. And you can find out more information about Gentle Shepherd Home Care online today at gshc.com or by calling 719-359-8371. This week on Senior Talk, I'm very excited to have back Dr. Wallace with Oak Street Health. Welcome back, Doc.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here again.
We brought up, opened a couple cans, not to say they were Pandora's box, but there's a few things that may feel like it if you're on the wrong side of the statistics we're talking about this week. We're primarily speaking about a 16-year life expectancy difference based on the zip code in which you live, right?
That's correct.
And I thought that was over exaggerating a number. The TED Talks and whatnot that I looked at this week quoted 20 years difference in different times. The first study on ACEs that came out, and I know that that's where I'm getting ahead, but I haven't stopped thinking about this since our last conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about going into the conversation, but before we do, for the listeners who didn't tune in a couple months ago when you were first on Senior Talk, will you please just give us a background of who you are, how you got here, and how you found yourself with Oak Street Health?
Absolutely. So my name is Eric Wallace. I'm an internal medicine physician by training. Moved to Colorado Springs in January of 2014 to take on the role of helping set up the regional medical campus in Colorado Springs for the University of Colorado School of Medicine.
No small undertaking.
And no, it was absolute joy, and it was fantastic. And one of the things that really drew me to that job in this community is the ability to train our future physicians to understand the anatomy of not just the human body, but the community that they live in, the challenges that not only the community faces, but the patients who live in that community. How do you take better care of them? What are the challenges? What are the resources you need to provide better care? I mentioned in the past show that I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's when I first learned about the difference in life expectancy based on zip code, where Tulsa, we had a 14-year difference in life expectancy. I had a chance to learn more about that, to get engaged with the community, to try to figure out how we can come up with solutions to make our community healthier. And then when I moved to Colorado Springs and we were developing our programming here, I discovered that Colorado Springs has a 16-year difference in life expectancy, depending on the zip code that you live in. When I moved to Oak Street Health 1 year ago, and by the way, today was our celebration of our one-year anniversary. Woo-hoo! Of Oak Street Health here in Colorado.
So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that. And we've made a tremendous difference so far in the population that we're serving. Yeah. And being able to work with an organization like this who really is delivering health care in a way that aligns with my value set. Yeah. About putting ourselves in communities that are more vulnerable, putting ourselves in the communities where we have lower life expectancy, mm-hmm. where our centers are located, and doing whatever we can to try to decrease the health disparities that we see and improve health equity in our community has just been a tremendous honor and privilege. And working with everyone in our center who believes in the same thing has been just wonderful after doing this for a full year. So I'm looking forward to future years of doing this.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
They say the first year a business is up and going, that's the toughest one to get through. And but when I printed off your CV, it thumped on the ground when I set it down. So this is not your first rodeo.
No.
It's not your first time going through something. I love how you started at education. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to make a difference, when you're trying to impact, you didn't start with how can I put myself in a place where I will be the one making a change. You go to who is the next generation and how to set them up while you still give yourself to the same end.
Right. And it takes a team. I mean, healthcare and health is complicated. I often say for some of the patients I see, I'm the least important person. There are things I can do from a medical standpoint. I can know the evidence. I can practice the evidence. But there are so many barriers that our patients face that it really takes a team of very thoughtful, value-oriented, well-educated people who are trained in a variety of disciplines. We need to work all together to make a difference.
We're better together.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to mention that you were just given a pretty wonderful recognition. You're a master fellow? I saw your eyes shoot to the side, and so I got it wrong. Would you tell us about this? Because when I looked into internal medicine, which is your specialty, you've been a fellow, but this is a higher recognition. Can you tell a little bit about it? And for the listeners, explain why something like that helps to this end that we're addressing.
So as an internal medicine physician, I belong to an organization called the American College of Physicians. They are the largest medical specialty organization in the world, somewhere around 150,000 members. And I've been an active member with them for 20 years. I was elected to fellowship, which is a honor above just membership in the college.
Just those plain doctors who are internal medicine specialists, one step above that.
So that was back in 2005. And then they have another category called mastership, which is awarded to a select number of people each year in internal medicine. And I think of it as a lifetime achievement award. I still think myself as pretty young, and I still have a lot to accomplish, but it's a kind of a secretive process where you get nominated, you're completely in the dark that it's even happening. And then the
something feels right about that.
Through the process, then they select a handful of people each year to receive that award of mastership. And so I just received that a couple weeks ago, which is just one of the greatest honors I've ever received. It's almost like a lifetime achievement award where my work in clinical work, in academics, the projects that I focused on. But the thing I appreciated the most about it is one of the greater considerations, in addition to my service to the American College of Physicians in many ways on a national level, was my focus and care for vulnerable populations. And so that's something I take tremendous pride in and trying to do what I can in working with other people to improve health outcomes in our society.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I very much looked forward to having this conversation. But the recognition is worthy of a pause. Lifetime achievement in something so directly impactful for just about every person who's listening is worthy of mention. And for the good of the whole, we're better together.
Absolutely.
Cheers, Doc.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
There's still a lot more work to do.
Okay. Very true. Yeah, it's very true. Let's dive in. There's a 16-year difference in life expectancy based on where I live. Is that here? Is it something across American? But most importantly, can you give a layman's overview of this data so the listeners like me can understand how can that be the case? How can the fact that I live one place, if I live in 80906, why does that lead to me dying a decade and a half earlier?
Well, if we think about being a human being, we desire to live a long, healthy life. And some of us have an easier time of achieving that than others. And we used to think that, well, it has everything to do with our ability to, say, access our healthcare system, to get the highest technology, the best technology, the newest treatments that are out there to be able to live these long, happy lives. And it's actually much more complicated than that. Your access to healthcare contributes to about 20% of your overall health, whereas the remaining 80% or so is a variety of things, including a big portion of that being something we call the social determinants of health.
Social determinants of health.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is essentially where you live. So the zip code that you live in is the greatest determinant of your life expectancy and your quality of life. So and there's lots of data to back this up. So as an example, if you live in one part of our community, you will live on average 16 years less than people in another part of our community. And so that environment, it's your neighborhood, your community, your access to healthy food, the jobs that are available, the transportation that's available. When I see a patient and my recommendation is you need to eat healthy and you need to exercise more or better to improve your health status and to decrease your chances of dying from chronic health conditions, some people aren't able to do that easily because they don't live in a safe neighborhood. It's not easy to go outside and exercise. There's no gyms around. There's no grocery store available. When your neighborhood is full of convenience stores, full of businesses that don't allow you to access healthy goods and services, and you don't have the resources or the transportation available to go access that somewhere else, then my recommendations for improving your health can't necessarily be carried out easily.
Yeah.
And then if I prescribe you an evidence-based medication for your particular condition, and if you say don't have health insurance or you're underinsured or you can't afford that medication at your pharmacy. Yeah, if you lost your insurance, you can't follow those recommendations easily. And so what happens is all the work I put into doing what I can for every patient I see from an evidence-based standpoint, the people who have the ability to access those resources easily can more easily follow those recommendations. And those who don't have a much harder time.
Right. So there's a lot to unpack here. And we're going to come back to it right after we take a quick break.
There's one place in Colorado Springs for all of your medical needs, and that's Affordable Medical Supply. Affordable Medical Supply is easy to find at the corner of Circle and Constitution. They carry wheelchairs, walkers, knee scooters, full electric hospital beds, mobility equipment, lift chairs, and much, much more, even the harder to find items. Visit their showroom today on the corner of Circle and Constitution, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., or give Affordable Medical Supply a call today at 719-632-4036. Our friends at Gentle Shepherd Home Care let seniors stay safe and independent in their own home. As we get older, a little bit of help goes a long way, whether it's a friendly face checking in or someone to help with daily tasks like bathing or dressing, meal preparation, and more. If you're looking for options to assist yourself or an aging loved one stay safe at home, Gentle Shepherd Home Care is Colorado Springs' premier and locally owned senior care provider. Give our friends at Gentle Shepherd Home Care a call today at 719-359-8371. Affordable Medical Supply is Colorado Springs' one-stop shop for all of your medical needs. Affordable Medical Supply is easy to find on the corner of Circle and Constitution, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. From post-op supplies, compression socks, bathroom safety, braces, scooters, wheelchairs, and more, Affordable Medical Supply has a knowledgeable staff that leaves you feeling confident on how to use your equipment right. Visit Affordable Supply today or give them a call at 719-632-4036. Affordable Medical Supply.
Welcome back to Senior Talk. I'm Dan Wilson with Gentle Shepherd Home Care, sitting here with Dr. Wallace with Oak Street Health. Doc, we're talking about this 16-year life expectancy difference between for people who live in Colorado Springs, in this southern Colorado area. And the how and why, you're beginning to touch on it. There's something that I came across called the values-based care model with Oak Street Health. Mm-hmm. How does that system, or how is this taken on? There's no way any of us. I mean, you helped start a medical school. I mean, cheers. That seems like a good push, but how are there businesses taking this on? Are there organizations taking it on? How is it that I'm ignorant of this And is it just because I've not been afraid when I go outside to go for a jog? I'm blind to what my privilege has allowed me.
Right. So society's complicated. There's a lot of viewpoints in our world in terms of what should be done differently to address the challenges that are in society. I can speak to, again, my interest in providing high quality care to vulnerable populations, not just vulnerable populations, but to everyone. The thing that drew me to Oak Street Health, and I'll talk about Oak Street and their value-based care model and how we're addressing the health disparities that are out there. Oak Street Health they put their centers, and when they looked at Colorado and said, we're going to come into Colorado, where can we locate our centers to have the greatest impact? And the places where they put their centers, we have two here in Colorado Springs, they put their centers in places that traditionally don't have easy access to healthcare from the population in that neighborhood that surrounds that center. And the populations in that neighborhood tend to have lower life expectancies. Hmm. So we know these are vulnerable populations who have higher rates of chronic illness, who have fewer resources in terms of money, in terms of access to transportation. That's by being in those communities where people can walk to our center and easily access us and the resources we have available, that allows us to have an impact. I mentioned before my ability to affect outcomes is challenged by the social determinants that our patients face. But I have resources. I have a patient relations manager who can sit down and talk with patients about their insurance plan and what's covered and what's not. Yeah. I have a community health worker who can help schedule appointments for my patients and accompany them to their appointments. Right. I have a social worker who... And I consider my community health worker and social worker more important than me on some of my patients.
For some of your patients, it likely is.
Including a patient I saw today where I came out and said, this patient needs you more than they need me.
Dude, doc, well done.
But I work with an organization that invests in those resources, invests in the people and the expertise to say, these are the challenges our patient population faces, and we have to hire and train these people to do the job to help support the medical team to provide appropriate medical services in addition to the social support that they need.
I love that. And one of the things when I was first introduced to Oak Street Health was I asked around, it was at a community that some of the residents pay five figures a month to live there. Mm-hmm. And they expressed Oak Street Health was the most enjoyable and the best experience they had had. But you also were, it's cross. So the thing I'd like to come back to, if we could, is this term, the two words, social determinants. Mm-hmm. Because to me, when I go into a Medicaid facility, you know it. You can tell because of how it's put together. It's low, you know, low budget. What are those social determinants that make a difference in 16 years, a decade and a half of life expectancy? You access vulnerable population resources, but is that just all current experiences? Like, can I move, or is it something that it's a part of who I've become and my background that has led me to this place?
So to dive into that a little bit more deeply, it's always, I think, good to hear patient stories. It is not uncommon for our patients who are found by our outreach team. Our outreach team is out there looking for people who need healthcare, who are having difficulty accessing healthcare, who don't have the resources. And our outreach team has brought in patients who've said, I've been sitting at home waiting to die. Hmm. They're sick. They don't have transportation. They don't have the ability to access healthcare easily. They don't have family support. Yeah. They just don't have the resources, and they've lost hope.
Yeah.
They've lost hope in our society and the systems we've created to be able to help them appropriately.
Yeah.
And so we'll bring people in, and we have a very nice facility. People say, wow, this is a really nice place.
It is a very nice place.
Nicer than some of the other places that they've been to. But even more important than our facilities are our people.
Absolutely.
Our patients walk out saying, this place is different. I feel like I'm treated by family. I don't feel like this is a typical healthcare facility. And that gives us a lot of pride, because I alone can't give our patients that feeling. Everyone has to be able to give that patient, that person, the same attention, that level of caring, that you're a human being. It doesn't matter to us, like, whether you have millions of dollars or you've got nothing. We're going to treat you the same way, but we're going to find out what you're struggling with, what are your concerns, and we're going to work together as a team to improve your overall health in the best way possible.
So if I can give my personal experience when I've come in, as someone who markets for a living, there's rarely more than one person who will talk to you and give you eye contact when you're there, and they want you out of the building as fast as possible. That's a part of being a marketer when you show up. Everybody I spoke with at Oak Street Health stopped and looked me in the eye when I was having a conversation with them, and they waited until the conversation was over before they went back to it. And that personal attention, it's atypical. And so I'm a fan of Oak Street Health. Half hour is never as long as I want. Mm-hmm. Can we take just a moment at the end of our show? Mm-hmm. Can you discuss what can be done? What can someone like me do to this end? Is it purely awareness? Is it recognizing things and speaking up, like a lot of things that became politically correct were? There were a lot of societal forces, social determinants that created a worth less, worth more dynamic in our culture, and political correct conversation made it to where you just don't use certain words because they communicate to someone they have less worth. And anyone who actually loves people wants them to feel good about being in an interaction with me. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that can be done by the common Joe like myself or a listener who says, this seems like a problem, how can I make a difference?
Absolutely. And I believe in a previous conversation, I heard that ignorance is a choice. So does that sound familiar?
Yes, yes. Okay. But it's also curable.
Yes, it is curable. And it's difficult because there's so much information out there. And the challenges in our society can be overwhelming to the point where it can create paralysis. It's like, this is too complicated. What could I possibly do?
Yeah.
First of all, it's to get educated, to understand that people are suffering in our community. We don't want to see that suffering. We want to see that change. Recognizing that there are many organizations in this community that dedicate their time and their resources to do everything they can to lift people up. And that's great. We have a lot of wonderful people and organizations who are doing that every single day in our community. One thing that I do outside of the, seeing patients part of what I do on a daily basis is I also sit on the board for the Colorado Springs Health Foundation.
Colorado Springs Health Foundation.
Right. So this was formed out of the...
Was that on like page 18 of what I printed out?
So I've been on the board. This is my third year now, and it's a wonderful organization that formed out of the partnership and the lease agreement between Memorial Hospital when it was city-owned and the partnership with UC Health when that relationship formed back in 2012. Mm-hmm. So UC Health runs that hospital, but out of that lease agreement between the city and UC Health formed the Colorado Springs Health Foundation, and that's an organization that has been giving out in excess of $6 million per year over the last several years. We just finished our last grant cycle and just awarded $2.4 million to nonprofits and government agencies within our community to support our vulnerable populations to improve health outcomes.
What does that money go to?
That money goes directly to our organizations to affect change.
Organizations to affect change.
Yeah, so anywhere from the organizations who align with our funding focus areas. Okay. Our last one was around healthy living, around housing. And I'm blanking on the third one right now.
Yeah.
So let me wind back a little bit. So in our last grant cycle, focusing on healthy living environments, we awarded $2.4 million to the organizations who do this work on a daily basis, who have new programs they're developing to address, whether it's a vulnerable senior population, youth population, homeless population, people who are struggling with housing, with access to food. We are giving money to those organizations. So this is a tremendous asset to the community that I don't know that everyone knows about. And I'm proud to be a part of that and proud to continue to be a part of that ongoing process. I also sit on the grant making committee for that foundation as well.
I think I saw that one on page 22.
So it's a tremendous honor to be a part of that. But getting back to your question, what can the average person do? Think about a population that you are curious about. Learn more about that population, talk with that population, understand what their struggles are, and dedicate, if you have financial resources, great. If you don't, how about some time? And it starts with that understanding the people and the human beings that are currently suffering, why they're suffering, and what would benefit them the most, and help them out. Help the organizations that are helping to support that population through volunteer time, through donations. Those are tremendous ways to help if you don't feel like you can solve every problem for every population.
Because we can't. It's a messy world. And like you had mentioned earlier, the problems are problems because they are complex. Educate yourself. There are things going on. I personally was introduced. I mentioned it to you early. The ACEs test. There are so many pieces of education that can take place. But then you followed talk to someone who's different than you.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good example.
And then give.
Yes.
And then give.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I got the two fingers. So it means I need to pull the reins in, and I thank you, Dr. Wallace. This is the life expectancy thing is one thing, but when you describe clients that come in and say they're just sitting and waiting to die, life is better with hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark without it, and. Cheers to what you are giving, pulling in that direction. Could I ask you, for those who are interested, could you quickly give the contact information for Oak Street Health, just in case they reach out?
Absolutely. So if you are someone, or if you know someone who has Medicare and is interested in checking us out at Oak Street Health, we have two locations, our Pikes Peak Park location on the south side of town and the Vista Grande location. Located near Austin Bluffs and Academy Boulevard. So Cameron Miller is our outreach director. You can contact him directly at 719-360-3990 if you're interested in an appointment to schedule a welcome visit. So you can check us out. We can say hi. We can get to know each other. And you can determine whether or not Oak Street Health is a good fit for you and your family.
Cameron is perhaps the kindest and most gentle muscle-bound, physically intimidating human, but he is so gentle and kind. Wonderful person to reach out to. Thank you, Doc.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Before we go, I want to remind listeners, you can find out more information about our sponsor, Affordable Medical Supply, online at affordablemedmart.com or by calling 719-632-4036. And find out more information about Gentle Shepherd Home Care online at gshc.com or by calling 719-359-8371. Be sure to join us next and every Saturday at 10 and Sunday at 8 right here and only on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM for another edition of Colorado's longest running and most listened to Senior Talk radio show, Senior Talk, presented by Affordable Medical Supply and Gentle Shepherd Home Care.